Hello, and welcome to Behind the Business, a podcast where we talk with Hot Springs business owners and managers about their business. Each Monday, we go inside the business to get a unique perspective on the challenges and opportunities businesses face today. My name is James Lee, and we're broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for joining us today. All right, I'd like to welcome Gary Westerman to the podcast. He is the owner of Gary Westerman Financial. You've been around for a while. Mm-hmm. You've been in this business for a while. Tell me a little bit about who you are and how you got started in this.
All right. I was telling you, I've been in the mortgage business for over 35 years. I'm born and raised in Hot Springs. My wife and I are from here, so we've lived here all of our life. And I've worked in banks and savings and loans when they were still we had those things. And so over the years, I have developed with a lot of folks, a relationship with a lot of folks, and doing mortgages. And we can get into a little more detail, but I, as of last November, I sold my business to a mortgage company and launched out on my own to do reverse mortgages. And that's basically because they're built for baby boomers, with people who were born between 1946 and 1964, that turn into 62 years old, which is an important age in reverse mortgages. So I launched out doing that, and I'm doing it vocationally, but it's also a great product for folks that are retiring. But they're going from maybe having income coming in, not spending their retirement monies.
Right.
And so there's a myriad of ways and strategies to use reverse mortgages. And so it's become missional to me to do that. So that's what I'm doing these days.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about reverse mortgages, because I know there's a lot of confusion about mm-hmm. them. A lot of people tend to think reverse mortgages, oh, that's just a scam. That's just trying to get, people's money.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, reverse mortgages started way back in the 1970s. Actually, I can't remember what state it was in, but there was a gentleman in the savings and loan, and his client came in and needed a home equity line, and she couldn't make payments. So he devised this plan, which now we know as reverse mortgages or home equity conversion mortgages. And he designed this for her, and he got his loan committee to approve it, where basically she won't make any payments, but the interest accrues on the loan from zero forward, so we have an accrual of loans. And we'll go into that a little deeper, of interest. We'll go into that a little deeper here in a few minutes. So they migrated over the years, and I think there's a couple reasons that people have an aversion to the word reverse mortgage. One is, the name itself, it's reverse, so does that mean it's backwards, or how does that work?
Right.
So we vet through that. But in the late 90s until 2002 or so, reverse mortgages were what they are now, except there was no filter on what loan officers or lenders could charge those folks. And they were charging abusive origination fees and back-end fees, and so it became known as the loans that do that. So FHA, HUD, mm-hmm. Housing and Urban Development, took over that industry in the early 2000s. And so they have now filtered that. You can only charge so much money, and you can't be a loan officer and do a reverse mortgage and be an advisor and take that money and send them, have them purchase annuities and that sort of thing.
Right.
So they ridded the old industry of that. So it became more conducive for folks to do it. So FHA has taken it over. They monitor the loans and they make them secure, and they're security backed by FHA. So it's changed a lot, but it takes a little time to explain that to people and get them to understand that.
Yeah. So how is, a reverse mortgage different from your standard home equity line of credit?
Okay. All right. So, first of all, you have to be 62. Mm-hmm. So that's one filter right there. Mm-hmm. And so you have to, it has to be your primary residence, okay? You and your wife, or you and your spouse, or you, whoever, can live in the house together. And so how it works is, if you, when you go to buy a house now, mm-hmm. assume you're not 62.
No, not quite.
So you would go to, if you were going to finance it, you would put money down, say 10-20% down.
Sure.
And so you would start, there's your house, and there's your equity, and there's your mortgage loan. Now, as you pay that down, mm-hmm. your mortgage amortizes down until it can get to zero in 30 years, if one ever did that.
Right.
And so on the converse, so a reverse mortgage, you would have a value, and basically, they have implemented now parameters on how much money you can get out. So they protect you from taking all of your equity out of the house.
Right.
So the older you are, the more you can get. So at 62, you would get about 45% of the equity out of the house. And so then when you pay, you finance in your closing costs and all your items. So you would have a balance there. Mm-hmm. So you could set it up as a line of credit and not draw on that line of credit, and you wouldn't be accruing any interest on that. So what happens is then, say you're $200,000 house, and then you've got a zero here, then each month that it accrues interest on whatever you've taken out of the home. Now, if that makes sense, so people ask then, well, how, what if I owe more than, you know, when I get older, what if I owe more than the house is worth? Well, FHA has made it what's called a non-recourse loan. Mm-hmm. So you can never own more than the house was appraised for. You would never have to pay that back. Now, they know how old we are, and they know what the actuarial tables say how long we're going to live.
Right.
So it would be almost impossible to eat up all of your equity, because you've still got 55% equity in it, right?
Right.
So that's kind of how it works. There's about 15,000 folks turning 62 every day. Home equity was something they could use, because normally baby boomers have about 75% equity in their house.
Right.
So if you did have a mortgage, you could do the reverse mortgage, pay off your first mortgage that's there, and then you would start accruing, but you wouldn't have a mortgage payment. You're not required to do a mortgage payment.
Right.
Okay. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah.
Tune in to check out the Garland County Library's new podcast every Friday for all things library. Being the state's first lending library since 1833, we are your connection point for the information you need, including books, movies, music, and much more. Find out more at gclibrary.com.
So, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. If you took out a reverse mortgage, mm-hmm. and you just let it sit there, you're not accruing any interest at that point. You're not owing any interest.
That's right.
So, yeah. So I can use that essentially as a almost a savings account.
Exactly.
to make money.
And that's where this product is headed now. In times past, when it first came out, it was kind of viewed as the last resort. Mm-hmm. I've retired and I don't have enough money, and so I need a month. They can do a home equity, or they can set it up as a payment. I need $1,500 a month or whatever.
Right.
It's migrated from that as we've matured in age and needs. So some of the strategies would be, that would be one, get more income. Another is, somebody's retiring, they just want to get rid of their mortgage payment. They can do that. Mm-hmm. Some of the reasons we're doing those is, suppose you did not, when you were earlier, bought long-term health insurance, mm-hmm. long-term care, and so you could set that aside just as a home equity line if you ever have to use that when you go to a nursing home or long-term care. Or you could set it aside to, maybe as I get older, I may be less than healthy, but mm-hmm. I'm still okay. And you might have in-house health care.
Right.
And you could set that aside to pay for those. So those are some reasons. Some folks are using them to downsize their homes and using it for purchase, and they can buy more house, more home that way, because they're only, they've had equity coming out when they sold their other home, so they can upgrade to, so they want to move near their grandkids or kids or whatever. So that's another reason. But suppose you want to repair your house. It's right. It's 20, 25 years old, and you need some do some things. It's used for that. So there's all kind of reasons and strategies to use reverse mortgages now.
Right. So in a situation where you have, you know, say 5 or 10 years left on your mortgage, mm-hmm. or more if you bought it later in life, and you want to do this, and you pay it off, you know, if say you've got 10 years left on your original mortgage, uh-huh. interest rates were, you know, a little bit lower 10 years ago than they are today.
Exactly.
You know, is this really a good option for somebody in that situation?
Well, you'd have to look at it and balance it. I mean, if you can make the payments comfortably in your retirement, then and you got a 3% interest rate, no, you probably shouldn't do that. It depends on probably the use or the safety that you want from having maybe more available money to you, or getting rid of the mortgage payment or whatever. Depends on case by case.
Sure.
Now, reverse mortgage loans are about the same as forward mortgages are now. Mm-hmm. So they're in their sixes, 6.5%. But it's not as needful. Because a mortgage rate on a reverse mortgage, although it accrues, you're not paying it out of your pocket.
Right.
So it's not as effective in your decision to do that. But again, it depends on the person, the folks. I mean, if you look at it one way, if you pay off your mortgage payment, mm-hmm. so you're paying $1,000 a month, and you pay that off, you've got this other mortgage payment reverse with no payment. Mm-hmm. You have created more liquidity,
right,
monthly for living. So it just depends. And that's why I say, I mean, each case is completely different.
Sure.
And so you just have to, I have to do a, just to go through their situation and see what what they need it for. So.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned you don't really have to make payments on it. Mm-hmm. You know, in a situation where you have used, you're not using it as essentially a savings account. You're using it to pay off your house or
right,
work.
Right.
When does it come due?
When do you have to pay? What happens at the end? When a life event happens, mm-hmm. say, let's just do an example. Say folks had their reverse mortgage. They were in their 70s, mm-hmm. and now they're in the 80s, and one passes away.
Right.
And the other person can stay in the house. As long as someone's living in the house, then the reverse mortgage stays intact. Now, should that person go to a nursing home, then something would have to be done. They generally have a year to do something about the property, mm-hmm. and they're not so rigid about that. They don't kick people out of their house.
Sure.
So what would happen, and then suppose that person passes away. Now there's no one left in the house. So the heirs can come and retain the house. Now, they probably wouldn't be able to assume the reverse mortgage, but they're probably not 62.
Sure.
So they can't do that. But they can take the house and refinance it and keep it. Mm-hmm. Or they can take the house and sell it and retain the equity out of it. It is an FHA loan, so over the life of the loan, there is a mortgage insurance premium you pay. You accrues monthly. So if there are no heirs, then the property can go back to FHA, okay? Now, if there are heirs, children, or whoever, and they decide that they don't want to keep the house, they don't want to try to sell it, they would just like to let it go back, you can go to HUD at that time and sell it for 95% of what the value of the property is. So there's an out, and that generally has to take place within about a year after the last people leave the house.
All right.
So there's a plan for it. And people ask me all the time, this sounds crazy because it sounds too good to be true. And the only thing, and what's the downside? Mm-hmm. So the only thing I say the downside is, but it's also protective for the consumer, you can only take so much money out of the house. You right. can't use all the equity, so some's going to retain there. That's the only thing I can see that would be construed as a downside.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, that's... You know,
that's all. We said a lot in a short period of time.
Oh, absolutely.
So, so what we do again is people. That's why I think it's so missional for me because it's all different.
Mm-hmm.
But to the point of each person that I've dealt with, it helps them make the right decision or help them in some way. So I'm proud of that. And so what we would do would be do a financial sit down with them and do a financial. Review, see what their needs really are, if it's a product that they should get into or not.
Right.
And so my goal is, there's not many of us here doing reverse mortgages, so my goal is to get my name out there
mm-hmm.
and that I am the professional, and I'd be glad to meet with anybody anywhere. We meet a lot in their homes so they don't have to come to an office or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's a great product.
Yeah. All right. Well, if somebody is interested in reaching out, how's the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, two ways. I have a website, and it's www.garywesterman.com. It's very easy to find. All my contact information is on there. They can call me at 501-282-3758 or email me at gmwf@garywesterman.com. I'd just be glad to talk to them. No pressure. No fees or anything. Just I'm trying to get to the point as I get my name out there, but it's also educational for me just to give folks the information, then they can determine if it's going to fit their needs or not.
Right. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming by and enjoyed it, and I learned a lot.
A lot in a short time.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Behind the Business. New episodes are released each Monday from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for listening.